I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 as we prepare for our scripture reading. And, you know, in preparation for today's message and kicking off Advent, you know, it's dawned on me that we had been, for the past 2 years, under quarantine. We have been locked up, hindered, locked down, and prevented from celebrating Christmas and Advent and this holiday season in all the ways that we really want to. And so for 2 years, we could not fully revel in our holiday and social traditions. And we want to celebrate as it's meant to be celebrated, right? Yeah. Or maybe as we really want to celebrate. Unfortunately, we're often tempted to indulge in what I'm calling unchecked excess, consumerism, waste. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves spinning out of control with our food and our clothes and our media and our technology and even our stress. Anybody feel like that's out of control? We've been tempted by too much, to be too selfish, to be too consumed, to be too unhealthy. And when we think about it, we ask ourselves, how much am I spending during this holiday season? How much have I spent? I don't know. Even after taking that financial class for the past 2 months, I lost track. Well, how much time are we spending or wasting on our screens? I don't know, but it feels like a lot. Well, how much extra food did we consume? Oh, yeah, I realize my belt buckle doesn't lie. This time, we want to really do something different. We want Christmas without the chaos. Who would like Christmas with less chaos? Oh, me, myself. Me too. Well, reducing the chaos will help us have more Christ this Christmas. But I have to forewarn you because it's going to feel like trying to take a sip out of a fully open fire hydrant. And what we're embarking on this journey might seem a little eccentric. But I want to tell you of the reward at the end, that if we commit to learning and practicing these spiritual exercises, that we can reclaim one of the holiest seasons of the year. And we'll discover that we're not helpless victims in the middle of all this. We don't have to hand over our Christmas joy to a secular culture. Instead, we can reclaim the beauty, reinvent the rhythms, and restore its delights. So in the spirit of a fast, you know, a temporary restraint on our appetites to make a spiritual connection, in that spirit, we're going to dial down 7 key areas of our life. And I believe that if we do this, it will change our lives. It will change the way we experience Christmas. And that it will be more than possible to celebrate Christmas focused on connectivity, on love, on joy, on generosity, and on the greatest gift of all, on Jesus. Let's find out more. Turning here to Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read the first 3 verses. Follow along as we hear the good news. It says, "So then, let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let's throw off any extra baggage and get rid of the sin that trips us up and fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's pioneer and perfecter. He endured the cross, ignoring the shame, for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him as he sat down at the right side of God's throne. Think about the one who endured such opposition from sinners so that you won't be discouraged and you won't give up." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, you are our delight and our desire. And as we enter this Advent season, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. In Jesus' name, amen. I stream, you stream, we all stream something. Right? Well, that's maybe not as catchy as the ice cream logo. You maybe even be tempted to streaming stuff right now because it seems like we are constantly connected to multiple devices, streaming endless media and videos and movies and social media all the time. You know what? Our attention span is taking a hit. We find ourselves, maybe you find yourselves doing something like this. I've got my phone on me right now, and you might be watching TV at home at night trying to relax, and then you find yourself also scrolling on social media or something else or reading the news while you're trying to watch TV. Anybody else do that? Not just me. Okay, all right. I mean, we're constantly plugged in this constant plug in and tuning in to whatever is going on, whatever we're streaming is causing us and making us to tune out from our jobs, our families, really our lives. And some of us might say, well, Pastor, that's just how the world is now. We just have to go with it. We have to go with the flow. I mean, look at our kids. They have to use computers at school now instead of textbooks, and so they bring those computers home, and they are on those all the time. And so that, you know, we just follow suit. Or maybe you're really busy at work and you feel like you've constantly got to be able to answer emails and phone calls and texts and that there's no end to it. Or maybe you do it like this, that you just love taking pictures of your cats and dogs and you want to share 3 million of those every day. Or maybe you're thinking, I got to find that one more gift. I've got to go on Amazon or Walmart.com to complete that shopping list. Is that really true? I don't know, maybe. But it does seem like it's easier to go with the flow and to allow ourselves and our families this nonstop access to whatever streaming media or electronics or social media that we have around us. It seems like it's easier to just to go with it than to turn off that incessant flow. And to be fair to ourselves and be truthful, whether we want to admit it or not, we like having all that access. We like having whatever it is we want at the tip of our fingertips, and we want it all, and we want it now. And we also have to admit that if we were to make a blackout at the house and make everybody turn everything off, we'd just be incarcerating ourselves. But maybe, just maybe, we can find a little bit better balance this Christmas season. Maybe we can break that conditioning that we have to have our phones at all times. Maybe we can break that training that we need to go onto Facebook or Pinterest to get the best decorating and baking ideas. And maybe we realize that we don't have to curse Michaels and Hobby Lobby when they don't have what we want. Yet the reality is, when we succumb to all this, we find ourselves in this comparison trap that will rob us of our joy if we let it. And we find that constantly consuming the news and the media and all these shows, that we end up burying our opportunities to actually live life. And this is the complete opposite of what we want during this season. So I invite you, let's take a stand on how much we stream, how much we consume, and whose voice we listen to most. Because we are the authority of our lives. I'm the authority of my life. You're the authority of your life. And perhaps you're even the authority of the lives in your home. If you have younger lives or little ones around you, you are blessed to be the voice of reason in their otherwise chaotic world. And maybe the idea of eliminating all distractions is a little Pollyanna or naive or hyper-hopeful. Maybe we can cut down some of the noise, some of the chaos, some of the screen and stream time. And maybe we can advocate for our own better viewing and responsible viewing practices this season as we make our priorities right. And while it might be daunting, because some of us are really hooked, it might be daunting to break up with that 24/7 access and connection, I want you to imagine for a moment what it would be like to take a break, to catch your breath, to rest from it, even for a moment, and dare I say, allow yourself to get bored. Ooh, yeah. When was the last time that happened? You know, I once had a seminary professor that talked about the importance of boredom. That it's actually a need for our human brain, because not only does it allow us to process what we've consumed, it allows our mind to synthesize the things we learned and to be creative. But it also helps us prepare for what's coming next. So what is coming next? Well, if we're thinking of ways to simplify Christmas, then our next thing is to make the main thing and to keep the main thing, the main thing. And what is the main thing? The main thing. I heard it over here. The main thing. Way to go, choir. The main thing is Jesus. Yet we have a long road ahead of us. And sometimes this road feels like a race. And in our scripture today, we hear our life compared to a race. But if it is a race, it's more of a marathon than a sprint. And we want to run it with endurance, with our eyes on the prize and our mind set on Jesus. And while, yes, we do want access to everything right now, and yes, it is access to have, it is nice to have access to all of this stuff, God desires to give us access to something even better. That something is hope in Christ Jesus. And today we get a word of encouragement, a word of hope from our scriptures about him. You know, the author of Hebrews, who I'm simply going to call the preacher, he walks us through what I call the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It's a recollection of some stories of the most faithful people in Scripture, and people who envisioned a different reality than the one they experienced in their life. And they lived their whole lives patiently waiting, patiently hoping for what was to come. And many of them experienced moments of chaos, just like what you might be experiencing right now. Yet they trusted God and they persevered. So I invite you to go home and read Hebrews chapter 11 and look up some of those stories and be encouraged by those stories. But also, not only are you encouraged and edified, but be like them and hold on to the hope and the faith which you have now. Because this is the hope that is bound in the truth that Christ has come, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Let's break that down a little bit. The truth that Christ has come is the pioneering moment of our faith. It's our initiation into knowing who God is and what God is truly like through the life of Jesus Christ. It's the truth that Christ is risen and gives us the hope that the things we fear most, whether it's death or something worse than death, the fear of failure, the fear of disappointment, the fear of living a life that is not worth telling about, that we don't have to worry about those things. Why? Because Christ is risen. And by knowing that he is risen, by believing he is risen, by taking that seriously, it changes our whole life. That when we take the resurrection to heart, then we live the rest of our life in a way that makes a difference. Not just for ourselves, but for those around us, for our families, and those that we influence. Finally, the truth that Christ will come again. It's not only a moment of hope, but it's a moment of affirmation that our life is focused on him and preparing for his return. That it continues to remind us of what's important. Those important, you know, like those important oracles of faith, hope, and love. So we're invited to throw off all those distractions, all that excess weight that holds us back and holds us down, the things that keep us away and pull us away from keeping the main thing the main thing, you know, the stuff that clogs up our minds and our schedules and our to-do lists. We can shuffle all that off. And the world might think we're crazy, or a little crazier. They might look at us odd for not running the Christmas rat race this year. Yet we're reminded that Jesus ran a different race, that he endured criticism, and he ignored the shame, even the shame of the cross, so that you wouldn't have to worry about shame, so that you would be encouraged, so that you would not give up, so that you could follow him and be made more like him, be made perfect with him, so that you could join him in the presence of God. Now, we're still going to want what we want when we want it. There's going to be those temptations. There's going to be those times. But when it seems overwhelming, I want you to think about it this way. Before Jesus entered into his ministry, he went into a season of preparation. He went out into the desert to fast. And during that time, he became very hungry. He desired food. It's what he wanted. He wanted it then. He wanted it now. And so Satan came and tempted Jesus. He tempted him to, hey, you're the Son of God. Turn these rocks, turn these stones into bread. Have something to eat. And how did Jesus respond? We look in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus says, it's written, people won't live only by bread. We won't live by bread alone. What is bread? Well, remember when we prayed the Lord's Prayer just a few moments ago and we asked God to give us our daily bread? That bread represents all the stuff that we need to make it through the day. Yet God also asked to pray for and to ask for things that we want. So it can also mean the things that we need and the things that we want. Yet Jesus said, that's not what we live on. That's not our source. That instead, God is our source. And I want to help you stay plugged into the source and unplug from the things that cause chaos in our lives so that you can experience more Christ this Christmas. You ready to make a list? Here are some things. First, set some downtime where you're not going to use your device, where you're not going to answer emails, phone calls, or text. It'll be okay. Take a moment to eat a meal together. And while it's dinner time, put away the devices, turn off the TVs, and have a conversation that lasts more than 10 seconds with the people you cohabitate with. Or invite a neighbor over for dinner. Invite someone over to have a friend, to have a meal with you. It's something that we're trying to do more. It's out of our comfort zone, but we're finding that it strengthens our relationships. It makes them better. And even before dinner, maybe you can cook together. Now, that might be a challenge. You might have a one-butt kitchen. But maybe you can work a way around it. Find a way to start. You know, this past week, my grandson Asher, you know, we had the kids and grandkids in visiting with us, and my grandson Asher got up with me at 5 a.m. to start prepping the ribs so they would be ready for lunch. And he got up and he helped ready the smoker and helped me put the seasoning on the ribs. And every time we went out to mop them, he was right there with me. And we both loved it. Maybe go for a walk with your family or with each other. Or make a phone call. Actually talk to someone instead of texting them. Or pick a holiday movie to watch together or create a holiday musical song playlist. And then you can talk about what it is you love about that movie or why you picked that song, what it is you love about that song. And we know we're going to stream something, so when we do watch the news or stream our favorite show, for every 30 minutes you spend streaming or watching or listening, spend 30 minutes reading your Bible or listening to your audio Bible or praying. You'll be surprised at how this changes your attitude and changes your life. Work on a hobby together. Serve in the kitchen together, whether it's on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights or another local kitchen. Help carry out groceries. We had one of our Sunday school classes or life groups that recently went to one of the grocery stores and helped carry people's groceries out to their cars for them, and they loved it. Or maybe check on someone who's homebound. You know, if you find yourself in a moment where your brain just needs that media fix, you need to see what's going on in somebody else's life or what's going on in the world out there, take 15 minutes to check on someone else and to give them your undivided attention. Be generous with your attention like Jesus was. 15 minutes may not seem like much, but I guarantee you it's enough for someone to feel heard and seen and valued. You know, John 1:14 says that the Word became flesh and made his home among us. And we have seen his glory, glory like that of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. You can share that glory. You can share that grace and truth, and you can experience it. You know, there is so much goodness here, so much good and truth that brings glory to God and puts Christ at the heart of Christmas. Now, when you leave, don't do it all. That would just be another mess. Pick one or two. Pick something that works best for you, the funnest or your favorite. Take your pick and make it beautiful so that you can actually celebrate with the people that you love, with words and hugs and tasty food, and so that you can remember together the reason that you have all these blessings in the first place. This is your opportunity to make your life better and their life better through Jesus Christ. And as we go deeper into this Advent season, preparing to celebrate Christmas with the dearest people in our lives, remember that you have the freedom and the permission to leave behind the most exhausting and draining parts of Christmas and grab on to all of its hope and joy, peace and love and wonder. Because after all, when we do all of this, when we shed all that excess, and when we focus on Jesus, it turns out that we find out that Jesus is enough. Amen?